So good morning. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I pray that today we will leave here different than the way we came in. Father, I pray that we would be so impacted by the worship already that we must go here speaking your name. You are worthy. You are worthy. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you do not have a Bible, please raise your hand because we're going to be looking at a couple of scriptures and you're going to need a Bible. We have new ones. These are the new English Standard Versions. And go ahead and just raise your hand as the ushers. I almost said the archers. That's weird. So as the ushers are going around. Okay. So today we're going to talk about there's something about that name. There's just something about that name. We're kind of in a last words series. We haven't really done a very good job of like communicating, and that's what this series is about, last words. But Archer, he talked about Jesus, you know, last words right before he ascended. Okay, and then last week we talked about the gospel, the beautiful gospel, that amazing message that Jesus has given to us to share. This week we're going to talk about from Dave's second to last sermon, a phrase that he said that it just impacted me, and I love it. I love it so much. Here's what he said. This will be a praying church if you pray. He encouraged us all to pray, to be a praying church. And he said, this will be a praying church if you pray, if I pray. I love that. I love that. So the goal of this sermon, usually don't say like in a sermon, here's the goal, but here's the goal. The goal of this sermon is to change the way you pray. Maybe not profoundly. Well, I take that back. I want it to change profoundly, but not very subtly. That's what I want it to do. A very subtle change and profound change, but not just overwhelming. Okay? So that's the goal. For this sermon, to change the way you pray. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures. Look up Philippians 2, 5 through 11, page 677 in this Bible. And put your finger there. And then John 14, 12 to 13. While you're turning to Philippians and John, John's where we're going to start. I want to give you some background on this John passage. So, the goal is to change the way you pray. We're going to get to some application later. Before that, we're just going to do some work, okay? This is just some work. Now, here's part of the work. We're going to do some background. John 14 is right after John 13. I know what you're saying. Profound. In John 13, that's where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. They were in the upper room, and he's doing this. He's giving this incredible example of how to lead. Wash each other's feet. You call me rabbi. You're right to do that, but I tell you, if you want to be great, wash one another's feet. Follow my example. That's what he said. And then he continued to teach in John 14, 15, 16, and so forth. So these, what we're going to look at today is part of Jesus' final words, part of his final words. And he's giving this teaching. He's saying, you know, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Thomas is like, really? You know, show us. You know, how do we get there? We don't know where you're going. How do we get there? He's like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So amazing. So profound. Here Jesus knows that these disciples are about to go through some stuff. And this is what he chooses to teach them. Let's look at John 14, 12 to 13, page 622. This is about prayer. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Now let's think about the works that he's been doing. He fed the 5,000. He fed the 4,000. Yes, it happened twice. He raised Lazarus from the dead, healed blind people, healed lepers, people with no hope. This is incredible, incredible. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. This is it. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Those are bold words. Those are words teaching us about prayer. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. As Dave was preaching that sermon, it just kind of struck me. That name, Jesus. Jesus. It's just, how do I use the name Jesus? So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about that name, Jesus. And this is the subtle change. I hope that when you pray in the name of Jesus, it is in the powerful, amazing, beautiful name of Jesus. So because I'm a youth pastor and we do stupid things, like if you talk about a name, you got to do, you know, stupid stuff. Like this is the longest name in the world. You're like, no, it's not. Where'd you get that? Well, I got it from Wikipedia. Where else? Okay. So I might say some of the weird baby names. The Social Security Index requires at least 5 babies or name these so they can get them. Ruckus, Sad Man, Legendary. Sad Man. Nickname Smiley, I guess. So, but we're adults, right? We don't have time for this. We're not going to do it. Okay. So there's something about that name. There's something about that name, Jesus. What's in a name? What's in a name? Okay, we're going to start with John 1, 1 to 3. Okay, don't turn there. We got lots of scriptures. Okay, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Okay, just in case there's any question that this was about Jesus, later it says, and the Word became flesh. All right, that word flesh is like meat, okay? The Word became meat, all right? You could kind of crassly translate it that way, all right? This is Jesus and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. That's what John was saying. We have seen his glory. Now, if all of a sudden the job of God became open, all right, you started taking resumes for the job, and somebody turns in a resume, and at the top of it says, creator of everything, okay, you get the job. All right? You don't need anything else on your resume. Like, I cut a Super Bowl pass and got MVP. I mean, you don't get the job, okay? Creator of everything, yeah, you get the job. And so if we look at this, Jesus, in the beginning was the Word. The Word became flesh, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is creator of everything. He is the source. A few weeks ago, I guess maybe a few months ago, I talked about a philosophical argument for the existence of God. And it goes like this, okay? Let's say you needed to borrow a mouse for a computer, okay? And you asked your buddy and you said, hey, can I borrow a mouse? And they said, sure, no problem, but I don't have one. My friend does. I'll get it for you. And so he goes to his friend, he says, hey, can I borrow a mouse from my buddy? He says, yeah, sure, no problem, but I don't have one. My buddy does. Let me go to him. And so on and so forth down the line. Each person asking to borrow that which he doesn't have. Until at the end of that line is someone, something that is qualitatively, quantitatively different than the rest. the one who owns the mouse and passes it on up the line. Well, when it comes to existence, none of us possess that on our own, all right? Our baby girl got her existence, okay? You can say her material existence from us, all right? We got ours from our parents and so forth and so on down the line. And so where does existence come from? If it's borrowed, all the way, even the universe didn't always exist. Where does even the universe get its existence? From the one who had it to begin with. The one who is different than all the rest of the series. And from which existence is borrowed to today. That is God. That is God. That is Jesus. Now let's get our Old Testament up in here. All right. Something about that name. Okay. Exodus 3:13-15 is so powerful. I love it because this is that place where God gives himself a name. And I love the name that God gives himself. Moses is at the burning bush. He's kicked off his shoes. He's received his task and he asks, Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Now, they might have asked, is this Ra? Is this Ra, the Egyptian god of the sun who is coming to save us? Is this Isis? Yeah, Isis. It's kind of weird. It blew my mind there for a second. Is this, you know, any of the others, Amenhotep or something? You know, who is it that's coming to rescue us? What name shall I give to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He says, none of those. The name that I have is existence. I exist. Say to the people of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. This little Lord right here, we're going to get to that in a minute. Notice the spelling, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It's significant, okay? That is the tetragrammaton. All right. I know. I told you we were going to do some work. Okay. It's Yahweh or Jehovah. Okay. It's actually, here's what it looks like in Hebrew. You read it from right to left. All right. That is those letters. Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. All right. And I know what you're thinking. There's no vowels. We're going to get to that. All right. It's actually from this verb, Hayah, in Hebrew, which is to be, to exist. God is saying, I exist. It is from me that all existence is borrowed. And we know because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We are speaking of Jesus, from whom all existence comes. A little later, they come to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And here is one of those commandments. Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. This name, the Lord, was so respected, so revered, and this law so well observed that they discontinued saying, even speaking the name of God. And so the true pronunciation of God's name is lost to history. So you're saying, well, what about Jehovah or Yahweh? Well, here's why we get that. There's the tetragrammaton right there without any vowels. Okay. It actually comes, this word. That's where the vowels come from. There's some people came along and they were like, look, there are no vowels. That really bugs me. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to put little points and dots and dashes around to be the, did I say verbs? Vowels. That's what I meant to say. There's no vowels. Okay. Did I say verbs? Okay. Okay. So forget that apology. I apologize for the apology. All right. So so we're going to put dots and dashes around to represent the vowels. Okay, and so if you look here, there's two little dots and, you know, dash and dot and sort of a like T thing, all right? So what they would do, this word is Adonai, it means Lord. So that's what people began to say is Lord, 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 okay? We're not going to say the name of God because we revere it, we respect it so much. We're going to say Lord. And so what they began to do is to remind themselves to say Lord instead of the name of God as they would put the vowel pointings of Adonai on Yahweh, or the name of God, okay? And so you can see that, you know, there's the two little dots, and there's the one little dot, and there's a little cross thing, this little, you know, dash thing. I know what you're thinking. Who would ever put that dash underneath a yod? Totally belongs under an aleph. Yeah. So anyway, that's where we get our modern pronunciation of Jehovah or Yahweh is from the vowel pointings of Lord. And so anytime you see in the scriptures this L-O-R-D, you are looking at the modern reverence of God's name by not putting Jehovah or Yahweh in there and putting Lord. Now, some versions are beginning to put Yahweh in there to communicate this is God's name in this spot. This is some incredible, incredible respect for the name of God. Do we respect the name of Jesus in that way? Here is a prophecy about Jesus, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself, this is Adonai, okay, notice the spelling here, little o, little r, little d, okay. But from the context, we know that it is Jehovah or Yahweh, who is the one making this declaration. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And this little note right here, the H, okay, this is what it is. It means God with us. And if you read in Matthew, okay, you're going to see the fulfillment of this prophecy. God with us. And I know what you're thinking. Emmanuel, that was supposed to be his name. Okay, so why isn't Jesus' name Emmanuel? Because it says right there, it shall call his name Emmanuel. Okay, well, the reason that his name is Jesus is because the angel told Mary and Joseph to name him Jesus. And it is obviously the fulfillment of the prophecy because Jesus is God with us. All right, and Jesus, what that name means, it's actually Joshua. Okay, so any Joshuas in here, you're actually named after Jesus. All right. Have you ever wondered that? I don't know. Maybe I'm that guy who's like, okay, well, why don't white people name their kids Jesus? You know, it's always like south of the border, Jesus, you know, and it's like, oh, that's so odd. I knew a guy named Jesus Garcia. Okay. He was a great guy. Loved the Lord. Fantastic drummer. You know, so why don't we name our kids Jesus? Well, we do. We name them Joshua. It's the Hebrew version of Jesus. Okay. And what Joshua means is the Lord saves, or Yahweh saves. That's why his name is Jesus, because Yahweh saves. Jehovah saves. His name is Jesus. Let's look and let's see what the powerful name of Jesus does. Okay? There's spiritual stuff going on here. Okay? Jesus, he comes to the Gadarenes, all right, and this dude is there, and is like he's a demon possessed dude, all right. He's just crazy. Nobody can tame him, all right. He's just going crazy, and he runs to Jesus, all right. Jesus doesn't call him out. He runs to Jesus. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." And Jesus says, "What's your name?" He says, "Legion." And they started begging him, "Throw us into the pigs. Don't throw us into the abyss." And Jesus says, "Okay." They go in the pigs. The pigs run down in the water. The name of Jesus is incredibly, incredibly powerful. Jesus himself is incredibly powerful. He is the source of all things. He is amazing. God is amazing. So, here we come to Philippians 2, 5 to 11. This is so incredible. I know so many of you know this verse, know this passage. Some of you maybe even have it memorized, but I don't want us to miss it. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, Jehovah saves, Yeshua, Joshua, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. What a name. What a name. If you're an underliner, this is a good one to underline in your Bible. If you've got this Bible, underline it, okay? Pass that on, that little highlight on to the next person who uses this Bible. That is incredible. We serve the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the name that is above every name. So here's a question. How do you invoke the name of Jesus? Rochelle mentioned earlier that we have a culture that is turned his name into a curse word, profanity. Maybe yours isn't necessarily disrespectful in that way, the way you invoke the name of Jesus. Maybe it's more like, you know, the ending of a story, and they all lived happily ever after, the end. You know, like at the end of a prayer, in the name of Jesus, amen. How do you invoke the name of Jesus? And here's a second question. What do you mean when you invoke the name of Jesus? This is the name that is above every name. This is the source of existence. Do we sometimes take his name in vain? James 4 says this. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. Here's an example of this. I think this is one of the funniest places in all of Scripture, the funniest things that happened in all of Scripture, okay? Acts 19:13-16, Paul is, you know, casting out demons, praying for people. This is like that verse where, like, even, you know, a little prayer clause, you know, that touched Paul were going out and people were being healed, this kind of stuff. I mean, this is like mind-blowing things going on. And some people were watching this, some itinerant preachers, and they're going, man, that is awesome. All right. We're going around and we're trying to cast demons out of people and it's not looking that cool. Let's try some of that stuff out. All right. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva we're doing this. And this is where it gets good. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. They didn't have any clothes on. All right, now, anytime it's, you know, kids gonna fight, you know, it's like one kid comes away with a black eye and you're like, whoa, what happened to you? And they're like, I got in a fight, but you should have seen the other guy had two black eyes. I totally won. You know, like people are always bragging about how they won, no matter how it turned out, you know, they're always bragging. Okay, you can't brag if you don't got no clothes on. You lost. Okay, you run out of there naked and bleeding. You lost. There's no bragging. All right. People look at you and like, what happened to the other guy? He won. That's these people, they took the name of Jesus in vain. They tried to invoke the name of Jesus for their own power, for their own glory, for their own amazing awesomeness. They took his name in vain and they paid for it. Do we take the name of Jesus in vain? Why do we ever think we have any standing before God? How dare we approach the throne of God? Who do we think we are? The scriptures tell us to pray boldly. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16 says this, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. It is because of Jesus that we can approach Him. He has built that pathway. He has built that bridge. It's amazing. It's amazing. He tells us, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Now here's an example, all right? I'm a youth pastor. Who do I think I am to mess with other people's kids? Seriously, all right? It's scary. You want to tread on thin ice? Mess with other people's kids. Especially when it comes to God, all right? This is like freaky, you know, like you want to get some parents angry, mess with their kids. Who do I think I am? Well, I would not do this job if it weren't for the calling of Jesus Christ himself saying, you're doing this job and I'm going to be with you the whole way. When it comes to coming before the throne of grace, he says, do it. Pray boldly, and I'm going to be with you. Scriptures say pray often. This is the parable of the persistent widow. She was had some sort of injustice happen. She goes to the unjust judge over and over and over and over again. And this is what the unjust judge says. Though I neither fear not nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, this is Jesus, he says, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? I love this. My favorite internet preacher is Matt Chandler. All right. He makes this point. He says, God says, bother me. Bother me. All right. Our daughter is not old enough to beg us. But I feel quite certain when she is old enough to beg us, we are not going to say to her, oh, you little precious, keep asking. All right. All right. When we say, ask me again, it's going to be a threat. You know what I'm talking about? Ask me again. I'll take that, go in the backyard, set it on fire. God says, bother me. Keep coming. Keep coming. Who says that? The one who is worthy, the source of all existence, the one who died and rose again. He says that. Pray boldly, pray often. So here's the challenge for this week. Pray in the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. Here's part of what that means. Use the name of Jesus. Tim Hawkins, hilarious comedian. He's like, what are some of these prayers that we teach our kids? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. You know, that's kind of a scary prayer if you think about it. Like, all right, kids, let's pray. Aren't you happy now? Sleep tight. I might die. Okay, it's a cute prayer, okay, but it never invokes the name of Jesus. How many of us only pray Lord, or only pray God, or only pray Father God, or only pray something that's not the name of Jesus? So the challenge this week is use the name of Jesus as you pray. He says, come boldly. It's because of the name of Jesus that we can use the name of Jesus. Come boldly. Pray often. Use his name as you pray. Pray in reverence and pray in awe. And this is that subtle but profound change. I'm thinking that if we truly recognize the name of Jesus, we might not ask for some of the things that we ask for. Jesus, I know that if I'm driving that Corvette, more people are going to come to know you, because they're going to say, what blessing blessed you to get blessed by that Corvette? And I'm gonna point it right back to you, Jesus. Point it right back to you. I'm gonna change the horn to be like, you know, Amazing Grace. It's all for you, Jesus. Are we gonna, like, seriously, are we gonna continue to pray that we can spend it on our own passions? Pray in reverence and pray in awe. Pause. As you pray, think, is this really, I want to invoke the name of the source of all existence for this. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. Remember, this will be a praying church if you pray. If you pray. We're going to do something a little unusual this morning. We're going to have a time of response. Okay? If this is your first time here, welcome. Hallelujah. Okay? If you're like here kind of checking this God thing out, and you're like, I knew something weird was going to happen. Okay, this is it. This is that weird thing. Okay? Just watch if that's where you are. That's okay. The rest of us, we're going to pray. Now, it always makes me nervous when we have a prayer time like this, because it's, you know, like in some places I've been, it's like, what's your worst sin? Share that in your group. Why haven't you stopped it? Share that too. You know, it's like, these are strangers. I'm not telling these people, you know, it's like, so like the sin I come up with, I didn't do my quiet time once this week. I'm sorry, I'm working on it. You know, it's like I find like the least of these, you know. So when it comes to this prayer time, okay, don't share your worst sin. Okay, don't say why you haven't gotten over it, unless that's where God takes you. We're going to have one of our elders or some of our elders come up. Archer's going to come up. I'll be up here. And so if you're there, if you're like, I've got to confess this, I've got to invoke the name of Jesus for the cleansing of my sin, come forward and pray with us. Otherwise, I want you to just pray with the people around you. Maybe it's just your family. Maybe it's like, I don't know those people, so I'm going to pray with, my wife. Here we go. All right. Sorry, excuse us for praying. You know, like if you need to do that, do that. Okay, I don't want this to be totally horribly weird. But maybe it's time to meet somebody new and pray with them. We're going to pray. This is a prayer time. Invoke the name of Jesus in reverence and in awe. Invite the people around you to pray with you for whatever it is you're going through. Maybe you're going through nothing. Pray with those around you for what they're going through. Let's pray. Jesus, your name is holy. Your name is righteous. Your name is good. Your name is worthy. I pray during this prayer time, Father, that you will connect people with each other and you will connect people with you. God, if there's somebody who needs to come forward for prayer, give them the courage just to come up here. Convict us to be prayers. Like Dave said, this will be a praying church if we pray. So right now, God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this time of prayer. God, we pray for Pastor Jay, his housing needs. We pray for Dave as he is in retirement. God, we pray for this congregation. You taught as you were headed to the cross. It was a dark, dark time. That we should ask, that his disciples, your disciples should ask in your name. And so right now in this dark time, we ask in your name, help us to bear fruit for your kingdom. Help us to approach you with boldness. Help us to approach you often with reverence and with awe. We love you. In the name of Jesus, amen.